Long Road International and KPI present Inferno. In the spring, the full moon shines for the warrior who has lost his way. Coyote is the spirit that leads back to life. If he follows the coyote when the moon is full, the warrior will see the path once more. From a Native American tale. A full moon glows as a silvery speck in a dark blue sky above a wide desert. A coyote running in slow motion is superimposed over a large image of the moon. Then it runs across the desert as the sky begins to lighten. A man on a stylish motorbike is keeping pace with the coyote. He's wearing shades and blue jeans. His muscular upper body bulges beneath his grey vest. He watches the coyote as he overtakes it, riding on into the pink dawn. The bike streaks out across the flat expanse, against the shadowy mountains in the distance. Sometime later, in the early morning, his bike's engine falters and stops. He glides to a halt, peering down at his bike, then kicks down its strut and climbs off. Leaning over his bike, the man takes a closer look at the engine, with the breeze ruffling his short brown hair. He slaps the saddle in frustration and looks around at the desert. He whips off his shades as the bright sun glints over the horizon. He's totally alone. He tucks something under his belt, then takes a bottle from a bag on the back. He unscrews the cap and takes a swig. He tucks the spirit bottle under his belt, pulls a dark jacket out from the bag, and takes a few paces away from the bike. He slows, then continues, backing away, looking at the bike uncertainly. He turns, throws down his jacket, and takes another swig from the bottle. He sits down on the dry, cracked ground and takes out the object from under his belt, a handgun, and rests it next to him. Now a man sits on the ground, not far from where he lies.
I want to tell you about the craziest white man I ever met. We go way back, Eddie and me. Met in the army. Hadn't heard from him in a while before I got his postcard. Never been to visit before. Postcard said you were bringing me a surprise. Is that it? Yeah. I appreciate it, Eddie. I really do. Always love that bike.
Sir Ed Brooke Don.
Hey, it's an old Indian just like me. It's not the end of the world. What are you gonna do, kill yourself?
That's what I'm here for, Johnny.
Eddie's sitting up with his gun.
Postcard didn't say when you were coming. So I lit a fire last night. Smoke told me when you'd be here. I've been watching for you.
You know why I came to see you?
Got a pretty good idea, amigo.
What good did we do? Nothing! You used to do it real good, Johnny. Killing. The memories. They're on me, Johnny.
He fires into the air. Johnny sits still, unconcerned.
Why you got the medal, Eddie?
Hey! I had this dream about the devil. He reserved a whole floor of hell just for me, Johnny. What do you think about that?
Tell me more about your dream, Eddie.
Dream. I think about it a lot, Johnny. I think about it a lot. Checking out! finito. Enough. That's why I'm here, Johnny. To kill myself. I need you, okay?
Eddie, you may not need my okay.
Eddie sits up in the dust and sees behind him a tatty olive green truck pull up in the morning sunshine. Johnny has vanished. Three burly men emerge from the truck.
Look at this! He could have killed me!
A bullet hole. The grim men start marching towards Eddie, and he struggles unsteadily to his feet.
Hey, you! Psycho man! What in the hell are you shooting at, boy? You damn near killed us back there!
Leave me alone. Don't want any trouble.
What I think you need to do, son, is apologize to me and my brothers for almost killing us.
Eddie grins.
Hey, Johnny! What do you think? Maybe they can do it. My best friend.
I'll tell you what, mister. Why don't you just give us this here motorcycle? And maybe me and my brothers will just forget about this whole little thing.
No, that's a gift, my friend.
Hey. You really shouldn't be driving the way you are, mister.
Please, leave me alone. You get off of my bike.
Whatever you say, Chief. Sorry, man.
The truck driver, Matt, punches Eddie to the ground, and one of the others, Petey, grabs his gun.
Come on! Get your gun!
Matt holds out a knife. Eddie tries to kick him, but he grabs his ankles and floors Eddie again.
You can do it.
The third man, Jesse, shoots Eddie.
Ha ha! Yeah!
Woo! Look at that, I'm fresh out.
Petey looks up.
Yeah, there's a car coming.
A girl in the truck.
Wait, slow down, bud. Wait a minute. Bud, slow down! Somebody is in trouble!
Yeah, that's none of our business.
Bud never's gonna kill it!
Just burn a dotty.
They ain't gonna say nothing.
They better not.
I don't want no trouble with the Hogans, and if you're smart, you keep your mouth shut, too.
Matt goes to the bike.
I'm putting this in the damn truck.
I'll give you a hand.
Well, you make sure he's dead first. Give me the gun, Petey. Petey, give him the gun.
I can do it, Matt. Go on, I can do it, all right?
All right, Jess. Let him do it.
Don't miss.
Woo!
Petey points the gun at Eddie.
Come on, hurry up, man. What are you waiting for?
He squints down at Eddie, who's coming round.
Sorry, mister.
Eddie glares up at him through narrowed eyes.
Damn, I didn't think he had it in
him. Huh, me neither.
Matt pushes the bike to the truck. A bus is parked outside a rundown diner. Inside, a woman serving hands a man some cash.
Thanks, buddy.
Where's Dottie today?
Life, as usual.
Oh. Well, could you give her these for me?
What's that?
These?
Oh, buddy, that is so sweet. She's really gonna like those.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Rhonda, do you think Dottie would go out with me?
She likes you, buddy. Why don't you ask her?
All right. I will. Mm-hmm. I better get my ass in gear, or they're going to discontinue the run. I mean, there's one passenger out there, and it's military. It's half price. Oh, could you tell her I'm sorry I missed her?
Sure will.
See you, Pop.
A group of roughnecks.
It's not my turn, I think, guys.
All right.
Hey, Rhonda, what are you saying?
You sit on my lap, we talk about the first thing that pops up.
He wiggles his tongue lecherously.
foot in his hole.
Keep change, sweet thing. I think I'm in love.
Ow! Give me frostbite.
Rhonda. Rhonda, you're late.
The shortcut through the dry lake, and we saw this poor boy getting the mess beat out of him by the
hose. Saw a flying saucer. Flying saucer, Rhonda. Unbelievable.
Please. Please. Just go fill the ketchup bottles. And Buddy left these for you, Dottie.
Isn't he sweet?
Whoa. I thought you said they canceled his run.
Look what he got me from.
It says here, the Army may be conducting maneuvers around here.
Army's not coming, Pop. The flyboys are gone, too. Should have sold this place when I was a kid, before they put in the interstate. Here's a fresh cup, Mr. Early.
Oh, thank you, Rhonda. Thank you. My Bertie should be here any time now. She's been away finding me a job as a handyman. She should be here any time. Any time.
Wish you'd teach me some patience, Mr. Early.
Oh, Rhonda, patience is always there waiting for you.
Hmm. Well, that is good to hear. Well, Bertie is gone 3 years now, and he is still waiting. Oh, he's my kind of guy.
Oh, a little old for you, isn't he?
Eddie's lying on his back, eyes closed, baking under the bright sun. A dusty shoe and trouser leg steps close to him, and he turns his head slowly to the source of the noise, then passes out.
Woo! Way to go, Petey, man. We didn't think you had it in you, man.
Two shots in the head, that's my little brother. Ain't no big deal. Wonder where that sumbitch was from, what plane? Petey, what's that thing worth?
Just run it over to Eli. He tells us if he don't give me four and a half for it, I'll shove it up his brother's tight little ass.
I don't know, they might enjoy that.
Hey, you guys, hurry it up. I don't want to be late, get Ramsey all riled up.
Come on, Petey, you need to practice.
Bullshit. Every bit as good at collecting as you are.
We'll see about that.
Hey, good morning, y'all. It's time to pass the plate.
I'm afraid we're a little short this month.
Oh, count it. And I'm afraid y'all gonna have a serious problem, man.
Yeah, like a goddamn broken arm.
You can't take the Lord's name in vain, Sonny.
Sorry, ma'am.
Look, Miss Howard, I don't want Petey to get any more upset than he is and ended up breaking both of his arms.
Oh, no, not that, Henry.
Well, looky here. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. I'll take it easy now.
Have a nice day, man.
Why did you do that?
Saturday night, I got this date with this cute little sinner. Could I get some clean sheets this time?
I gotta lie down.
Lord, Lord, oh, Lord. That was the reverend's money.
She takes a hearty swig from a spirit bottle and grimaces, coughing. A man's feet scuff the soft desert sand, walking past a snake as he stumbles forwards, heavily burdened. The limp form of the muscular Eddie is slung around his shoulders. A light aircraft zooms over the scrubland and a long desert road. It lines up at the end of a rough airstrip and comes into land. Now, a burly man, Ramsey, opens a briefcase held by another man in a white coat.
Pure this time, right?
100%.
Good. Anybody seen my idiot sons?
You know those boys, Gunny. You just can't count on them.
God damn it.
I told them to be here. God damn it!
Well, it looks like the plane's on time for a change.
The plane comes to a halt. Ramsey and the other three men run over to it. One keeps guard while the others cluster under the shade of the plane's wing. Then after a moment, they disperse again. The plane starts moving, and as it turns round, the boy's truck appears. It stops in a cloud of dust churned up by the departing plane.
I warn you, Dad. Sorry we're late.
Where you two been? You were supposed to be here to back me up!
plane hurtles down the airstrip.
What about me and Matt?
What about you? You're on my payroll. You do like you're told.
What the hell is that?
Oh, it's like a 49 Indian, Pa. I got a good deal on
it. I see that.
Now you show me the pink slip.
Well, like I said, I got a great deal on the gun.
Damn it, the last thing I need right now is trouble.
Is this bike gonna be trouble?
No, sir.
You sure?
Dead sure. Right, Petey?
Right, absolutely, Dad. No trouble at all. Don't even think about it.
Shit. Stupid sons of...
You know how to tell time?
They'd
be here on time. We've been through this a dozen times and you're never fucking here.
Sure.
Oh, shut up.
A ramshackle wooden lean-to is silhouetted against the evening desert sky. Just inside its veranda, Eddie lies on a bed. Johnny takes a hooked tool off a gas ring and goes over to Eddie.
Eddie, you're fading on me.
He pours tequila over the heated tool. A coyote appears at the door.
Good boy, Okai. Could really use your help. What do you say?
The coyote watches with the moon in the sky behind it. Johnny dips the bent prongs of his heated implement into Eddie's chest wound, then pulls it out and grimaces at it intently. Now two eggs are tipped into a pan and sizzle as they fry.
You're a sick love.
The three Hogan brothers pile into Rhonda's diner.
Smell like damn manure in here.
Maybe the outhouse fellows.
Can I get you boys some coffee?
What are you talking about? You, bitch. Better bet than dead.
Why don't you boys take your differences outside?
Well, you heard our town constable. You gents best be moving along.
Shut the hell up, that's what we
need. Get out of here.
Say hey to your wife and my kids.
The Hogans fill the vacated seats at the counter.
What'll you have?
Come on, Rhonda. You know we like Dottie to take our order. Dottie the hottie. I mean, you got nice tits, no offense, but hers are bigger and firmer.
And people say you're not sensitive, Jesse.
Sure I am. Especially right around the tip of my dick.
Hey. Don't talk to Rhonda like that.
You gonna stop him, Pop?
Hey, sweetheart, did you maybe see something that could have upset you or something?
No. I'm fine.
Really? You sure about that?
I'm fine.
She won't even look me in the eye.
Dottie looks nervous. Now Eddie stirs, eyes closed.
Johnny.
He opens his eyes slowly.
Morning.
Johnny taps his nose with a secretive smile. Eddie reaches for the tequila bottle.
I feel like a football. Did a lot of stitching on you, Eddie.
Eddie drinks.
You still like your tequila? I stayed wrong. Except the tequila.
Johnny sits at Eddie's feet, rubs something into his palms, and begins massaging Eddie's left foot.
You seem at peace, Johnny. I think I am, Eddie. Boy, but we had some wild times, huh? All the bras and the booze. Cigarettes and whiskey and wild, wild women. They'll drive you crazy, they'll drive you insane. Cigarettes and whiskey and wild women. They'll drive you crazy, they'll drive you insane. Remember? I remember killing two. I remember that if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. And my people say that if you save a man's life, your souls are locked together forever.
That's why I came to see you. I want to get you okay. To take a journey.
Well, I got things I gotta do then. I have to look at the moon. Talk to the smoke. Listen to the wind. Nothing's easy with an Indian.
Eddie closes his eyes and his head lolls to one side. Johnny chuckles as he massages him. Later, Eddie and Johnny sit in the sun and desert breeze as fighter jets tear overhead.
They buzz me all the time. There's an Air Force bombing range right over those mountains. Looks like F-50s today. What are you gonna do when you catch those three brothers?
Get your gift back.
You got me a gift and they took it? Yeah. They're gonna kill you. And if the Hogans don't, then the heathens will.
Heathens?
They're in the dope business with the Hogans. Hey, what do you say we do a little divide and conquer, huh? Like we used to in the old days? And they're making life pretty miserable for the good people around here.
Eddie is staring pensively into the wind through narrowed eyes.
Yeah, that coyote? You and him are a lot alike. Coyote's got courage, wisdom, a sense of mischief. And he's got a small dick just like you.
Eddie looks at him.
I'm gonna take a piss.
It's windy up here.
Say, Windy. Oh, Kai. Glad you're feeling better.
A lonesome, whitewashed church. A few scrubby trees harbor near its walls. Rhonda approaches her diner.
Good morning, Mr. Early.
Good morning, Rhonda.
What has got you up at the crack of dawn, huh?
Well, I had a dream last night.
Oh, a dream? What was it about?
Well, I dreamed that I heard the sound of the coyote and that today was going to be a glorious day.
Glorious day, huh?
Simply glorious.
Well, I would like to hear more about that. Why don't you come in and help me make the coffee?
That would be my pleasure, my dear. My pleasure.
Eddie stares at the morning sun, cresting a distant mountain range.
My lucky hat, Eddie.
Thanks.
Here, you might need this.
I got a gun. And I'm going to get it back. Which way's down?
Take the game trail. Down to the road. Then head west. Highway patrol comes through about once a week.
It's your run, Indian. I'm gonna get your gift back. Then, I want your kid to take a journey.
Clasping hands tightly, the men exchange a significant look.
Yo! When you get to town, head straight for the diner. Some of Rhonda's apple pie will put a smile on your face.
Eddie flicks the brim of his hat with a smile, then turns and heads off. Johnny watches him go with a solemn look and waves to his departing friends back. Another jet fighter tears low over the desert. Eddie's walking along a wide, dusty track, holding his jacket over one shoulder. Behind him, a jet appears over the horizon in the clear blue sky and roars overhead. Eddie starts at the sonic boom it creates and stares at the plane. In his white suit, Mr. Jubal Early is ringing the church bell in town as the plane skims past. Eddie's gun is for sale in a store.
My heavens, what was that?
Oh, nothing to worry about, ma'am. Just a flyboy showing off. You folks just passing through?
Yeah, we're looking for some UFOs.
We got lost the minute we turned off the interstate.
Lost, huh?
Well, not exactly lost.
Oh, Clarence, you've always been lost. You got a map to the interstate?
Don't need no map, Ivy.
Well, we're fresh out.
Jump, die, you old fart!
What was that?
Let's go.
What'd he say? Well, what's the
come back and see us, yeah?
You bet.
The elderly couple hurry out of the general store as the three Hogan brothers arrive. They get into their car and reverse away as fast as they can.
pearly gates.
All right, I'll meet you over there.
See you in a few. Check up on that 45.
You two jackasses ain't sold that gun yet?
Does it look sold to you?
Man, that's pitiful. Come on, give me the envelope. I ain't got all day.
The two storekeepers glower.
You inbreds. You're real good at running little credit card scams and ripping off old folks looking for spaceships. That's real cute. But if my father has to come down here, you two lowlifes are gonna pee your little SWAT team pants. Isn't that right?
The man who'd been in the back produces an envelope and slaps it down on the counter.
Thought so.
Jesse turns to leave and spits with a glance back before heading out. As Eddie tramps into town, Jubal looks up from his paper, seeing him arrive. Dottie stares out of a window at him, then goes to another window with a frown.
Oh my God. Rhonda, you remember about the time I told you when me and Vern saw that guy getting all beat up by the Hogans? That's him.
Vern grabs her arm.
Daddy, I talked to you from
there. No.
I thought I told you. Keep your mouth shut.
Jubal and Rhonda watch curiously as Eddie stares at one of the Hogan brothers riding his bike. Grim-faced, Eddie strides over to the store. He swaggers up to the open door and is spotted by the two roughnecks who own the joint.
Hey, if you're looking for UFOs, take a fucking hike.
That guy on the bike. Who is he?
Hey, scumbag. You want information? Dial 411. Now get the fuck out.
Eddie strides in.
The 45. Where'd you get it?
Eddie stares at his gun.
From your grandma. All right, my grandma.
Eddie humors them with a grin.
That. I've been taking shit all day.
One of the men reaches for a gun under the counter, but Eddie kicks him in the face. The man shoots, but kills his partner.
Catch!
Eddie throws a knife into the chest of the man with the gun, and he crashes to the floor.
Is that a gunshot, Pop?
Probably Lester and Leon shooting ground squirrels out and back.
There hasn't been any ground squirrels around here since I was a baby. I bet it's him.
Breathing heavily, Eddie gets to his feet, staring at his gun on display, and brushes coke off the store counter. It falls onto the face of the man with the knife sticking out of his chest.
Praise the Lord! Praise his everlasting glory! Save us, Jesus! Save us! Henry, what are you doing out there?
Not 5 minutes ago, I saw a man in a straw hat going to Eli's Emporium. Then I just heard a gunshot. We'd better call the state police.
Why? It takes them an hour to get out here, even when they know where they're going.
What if the man in the straw hat is a robber, a rapist? What do we do if he comes in here?
We could rent him a room.
Rent him a room?
In the store, Eddie tests the gun, loads the clip, and slides it back in.
If there's anybody still alive out there, I'd sure like them to get me out of the state back here.
He heads into the back cautiously and finds an old man in a leather armchair.
Well, don't just stand there. Get me out of here. Keep the key over the door jamb.
Eddie unfastens a chain around the old man's ankle.
That's better. Now, let's get out of the state.
The man gets up and stamps his foot.
Follow me.
Dressed in red long johns, he heads out.
Where's the tank? Bring my goddamn tank!
A gas cylinder.
Well, get it out here. I ain't gonna live forever.
You do Lester like this? And Leon, too. You done them both? Both at the same time?
Left me no choice.
Well, that sounds like him. Leon looks kind of peaceful, don't he?
Yeah.
You got a name?
Eddie Lomax.
Boys, meet Eddie Lomax. Eddie Lomax, meet the boys.
Hi, boys.
The old man lights a cigarette.
Oh, that feels good. My name's Eli Hamilton. About 2 months ago, when I took you, Lester and Leon come down here supposedly to help me run the store. The bastards run the store. Hell, they took over. Well, don't just sit there and bring me the tank. They chained me to that chair back there. Told everybody I was in the hospital. No visitors allowed.
Eli cups the breathing mask to his mouth and adjusts a valve. He inhales through the mask and draws on his cigarette in turn.
They starved me and they beat me. And they was my nephews. Imagine that. They hoped I'd die, but I didn't. And then you come along and kill them.
Eddie grins patiently.
I know where they hid their money.
Yeah. Eli gets up and totters over to a metal cash box.
You can have it all.
You can have it all.
I want your money.
Well, then take a truck, make a run for it.
No, I've got some unfinished business.
What business?
You know the Hogans?
Oh, you're gonna kill them too? My advice is go ahead and kill them. Yeah, wipe out the whole poisonous nest.
All of them?
Absolutely. But what about them? My kinfolk?
My mess. I'll take care of it.
Where you going now?
Get a bite to eat.
Straight ahead. And run this apple pie. It's famous in these here parts.
Thanks.
Oh, no. Thank you.
He's still alive. I figured he would be.
Trouble on the hoof, and it's coming this way.
Shut up, Vern.
Rhonda checks her hair subtly as Eddie marches towards the diner. She's the first thing he sees as he comes in. She smiles a little at him, taking in his muscular appearance and sweat-stained vest. He smiles back at her.
Just passing through.
They stare at each other.
You're just passing through.
More or less.
It sure is hot today.
What do you have?
Eddie sits down at the counter, takes off his hat, and smooths back his hair.
I would like a piece of your famous apple pie.
Famous, hmm? And how would you know?
Eli just told me. And Johnny said that would put a smile on my face.
Johnny? Johnny who?
Six Toes.
How do you know Johnny Six Toes?
We go way back.
Really?
Yeah. Way back. How about you?
I was 10 and I got bit by a rattler on my ankle here. See, Johnny saved my life, and we've been friends ever since.
Johnny was right.
About what?
She gazes at him questioningly.
It's a goodbye.
Thank you.
You know Lester and Leon?
Nothing anymore.
Oh.
Surprised glances all round.
So, what brings you to town?
I'm looking for the Hogans.
You just missed Jesse. You got business with the Hogans?
Yeah, they've got something of Johnny's. And I'm gonna get it back.
Yeah, right.
Vern turns away.
Well, maybe I could help.
Heidi Lomax.
Rhonda Lomax. Reynolds. Rhonda Reynolds. And my granddad, Billy Reynolds.
Just call me Pop.
Hi, Pop.
Rhonda regains her composure.
Excuse me. I don't mean to be intrusive, but I'm curious. Did my Bertie send you?
Rhonda smiles at Eddie.
Bertie did send you, didn't she? She said she was going to get me a good job because I'm such a wonderful handyman.
A handyman? I can use a handyman.
Well, then I'm your handyman.
Yeah.
Eddie reaches for his pocket.
Oh, no. No. It's all in the house.
You're very kind.
My pleasure.
Let's go, handyman.
Righto.
Eddie opens the door, but bangs his head on it. He turns and grins playfully. He puts on his hat and goes outside, smiling.
See? I told you, Rhonda. It's going to be a glorious day today. Glorious.
Got to fix that door.
Hold on there. My name is Jubal. Jubal Early.
Hi, Jubal. Good to meet you.
Thank you. And you are?
Eddie Lomax.
Eddie Lomax, eh? I like that. Nice to meet you, Eddie. This your first time through here?
Yes, first time.
I hope you have a great stay. A great stay.
Eddie leads the way into Eli's store.
Hello. What do we have here? Leon? And Lester? Did you kill them? Not my business. Not my business. As far as I'm concerned, I won't miss them one iota. Had a beautiful dog once. They shot him dead and never said one word about it, not one word.
He kicks Leon.
Always wanted to do that.
Oh, you're back, Eddie. Good. Hi, Jibble. I think you've met Eddie Lomax.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. So, Eli, how are you? I've not seen you in quite a spell. Quite a spell.
Yeah, well, I've been tied up.
So, Mr. Lomax, what is the job?
Lose the bodies.
Privacy. That's my motto. No job too big or too small. I'll tend to it straight away, sir. Gadzooks! Bloody well bled all over back here. He bloody well bled all over. However, not to worry. Some spick and span, a little elbow grease, several yards of saran wrap, and everything will be as good as new. Good as new. Well, gents, if you'll excuse me, I'll go fetch me truck.
Jubal gives Lester a kick.
I won't be long. Won't be long.
Why does he always repeat himself?
I don't know. I don't know.
A large gang ride past on dirt bikes as Eddie cleans his gun.
Oh, damn hooligans. Now what are they up to?
Beat us?
Yeah, mangy pieces of shit. Hey, I've got something better than a 45. Follow me.
Eddie jumps off the counter and follows Eli.
Bring the goddamn cake!
He goes back for the cylinder and wheels it through the door that Eli's just opened. He struggles to get it down some steps into a large, gloomy storeroom that's lit by daylight streaming through wooden slats on the windows.
My nephews, them spawns of hell, that ripped off some of this stuff from an army depot. You know how to use them?
Eddie cocks a gun with ease.
Well, I guess you do. Help yourself.
I just need this for now. You're very kind. Thank you.
I owe you a debt of gratitude.
My pleasure.
What are you going to do now?
Take a shower.
A good idea.
Bungalow 5. Made up fresh this morning.
Thank you, Mom.
Young man, have you been saved?
I'm afraid. I'm a bad boy, man.
But it's never too late.
Eddie stops and turns back, deep in thought.
Hope you're right. Oh, man. I love your hair.
Thank you.
Marge touches her hair, beaming happily.
Henry, I don't think he's a rapist.
How would you know?
Sitting on top of his truck's cab, Jubal presses a button on a handset that starts the back tipping up. He has a very satisfied look on his face. The truck is parked at the edge of a steep gully. As the angle of the truck's cargo bed gets steeper, two human figures bound tightly in plastic wrap, like Egyptian mummies, slide out. They bounce over the edge of the drop.
Night-night, fellas.
Eddie washes his face.
Hey, what do you say we do a little divide and conquer like in the old days?
He emerges from the house, where he's greeted by Eli and Jubal.
Eddie.
Good evening, boys.
You sure smell a lot better.
Thank you, Eli. Tell me, the heathens, where'd they hang out?
You got a plan, huh? Oh, not that you need to tell me what it is. There's a roadhouse about 15 miles down the highway, the Bombay Cafe, run by a tall, dark fellow by the name of Singh. Well, fair warning, it can get pretty rough in there.
Yeah, it can get very rough in there, Eddie. But that doesn't worry you, does it?
You'll need the wheels. Take that Dodge pickup there. Here, help yourself.
He throws him the keys.
Thank you.
Eddie strides towards the truck.
You know, I bet he gets lots of pussy. Yeah,
I bet.
Eddie drives off. Darkness has fallen as he pulls up in the parking lot of the Bombay Cafe. He switches off the ignition and gets out of the truck.
Help! 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 Don't put gas in! I don't want gas anymore!
Where the hell are you going? I can't dance all by myself.
You promised to take us to the bus depot. We want to go home!
Yeah!
One more day, please.
No more dancing. I want to go home. I'm putting my...
Go when I goddamn tell you to go!
Now you stand! He shoots at the ground.
No! No more shooting, please, I beg you, please! I tell you what, the next round is on the house!
The next round is in your foot! Now stand!
Eddie marches over.
Can we all just get along?
Eddie smiles at them. Jack, at first confused, then glares at Eddie.
I don't want to get along.
Hey, Jack, your girls here seem to have a thing for this sissy and his sissy act.
Oh, you know that! I own your ass!
Hey! You're a very naughty boy.
Think I'm dead.
They draw their weapons, but Eddie's faster and blows three of the men away, sending them crashing through the window.
Who's next? Drop your guns!
Please!
The hoodlums drop their weapons.
Hey, mister, take us with you.
With his revolver still trained on the men, Eddie's gaze drops to the woman's short leather skirt.
Okay, pick up the guns.
God, oh my God! You have just dispatched three of my best customers. I am a ruined man. Prithee, sir, who is going to pay for all this damage?
My new boss.
And who might that unfortunate person be?
The Hogans.
Son of a bitch.
All of you, inside. Thank you.
Hey, girls. Didn't look tough enough?
Yeah. Real tough.
Thor took a big chance for us, mister.
Oh, no. I have my own reasons. And they have nothing to do with you two. Put your guns in the back and jump in.
The women pile into the pickup truck. Then Eddie follows them. He hangs his gun hand out of the window, training it on the cafe. He shoots at the motorbikes parked outside, and they burst into flames.
Maybe he's some kind of gunfighter or bounty hunter or something, you know? Whoever he is, he sure finished off that pig spider. I mean, he just killed him like a bug.
Yeah, but Eddie's got those gentle eyes, you know?
Yeah, he sure does. I wonder if he's circumcised.
What?
You should be in bed.
Marge, good Lord. I can't help wondering about those two poor, innocent girls. What you gonna do to them?
Well, I don't know, dear, but I have to go to the store. We're out of Depends. And you should be asleep. Take your pills.
You're right. You're always right.
Ed is cleaning his gun. He ducks into the shower.
What do you want?
I want to thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I really want to thank you.
He steps out of the shower, wearing only a towel and boots. Brandishing his pistol, he sidles over to the door and opens it. Carol's standing outside, with only a towel covering her modesty.
Hi.
Hi.
May I come in?
Sure.
She slinks past him into the room. Eddie glances around warily, then with a bemused expression, heads back inside. Carol glances at Eddie's gun clutched in one hand. He lowers it, and she looks at him seductively.
Thank you.
She tugs off her towel and lets it drop to the floor.
You're welcome.
Eddie throws off his own towel. Marge is fixing her hair in a handheld mirror. She takes out a half bottle of whiskey from her bag and takes a swig. She puts the bottle back in her bag, then heads outside. She hurries over to Eddie's apartment, clutching her bag in one hand. She peers through the window into the bedroom, where Carol is straddling Eddie and gyrating up and down. Marge sips her drink and watches.
Eddie's home!
What do you want?
I just want to say thank you!
Oh, I didn't know you were busy.
Hey, you're next!
Really?
He's pretty.
Later, Eddie tucks his gun into his jeans, while Carol and Rose are lying in bed.
Wait, Eddie, where are you going?
I'm gonna go check on my bike. Thanks.
Yeah. Where is he going? Poor bike ride. Where does he get the energy?
Outside, Eddie pulls back a blanket hanging on a washing line to find Marge asleep on a mattress. He pulls off the blanket and drapes it over her.
Sweet dreams.
He hurries off, leaving her fast asleep. He opens the door and heads into Eli's dark storeroom. As he rummages around at the end of the room, Eli emerges from an adjacent door.
You're up early.
Eddie.
Sorry I woke you.
Ah, forget it. My age, you don't sleep much anyways.
Do you mind?
Help yourself.
Okay. Oh, listen, send Jubal to the Bombay Cafe. He'll know what to do, a clean-up job. And I've got two girls in my bungalow. Put them on a bus to Cleveland.
Two girls, yeah. Sure, I can take care of both of them. How many of them heathens did you get down at the Bombay?
Just three.
Oh, not bad, not bad. And are you going after the... Oh, get...
Eddie heads off with a rifle.
Cowards! Where the fuck did you kill him? He was outgunned, outnumbered.
Fuck you, Ives. You weren't there.
Who the fuck you talking to, fool? I'll screw this up your ass and splatter your brains all over the desert. Do you understand?
Back the fuck off!
If you had any balls, you'd take him yourself.
You keep talking like that, Irma. You're gonna look funny sucking my dick with no teeth. We're trying to live in peace with the Hogans. Ramsey's broken the truce by hiring this gunman.
So let's blow up his lab.
No, we ain't gonna blow up his lab. Because we're gonna need it, brothers and sisters. We're gonna need it. Because we're gonna take over this entire operation. Everything. Cut off the head of the snake. The fight dies.
Yeah, let's kill Ramsey. What do you say, huh? Come on!
Hold that. Ramsey's not even in town.
How do you know that?
Because I know my enemies. First Thursday every month, a fat pig goes up to Vegas with his bastard son. He sees a stockbroker. Then over to his hooker, get his knob waxed. He usually gets back between 12 and 1. We'll be waiting for him!
The Hogans are in their car. Ramsey's driving. Matt looks pensive.
Gunny, can I ask you a question?
What's the matter now? You gotta go pee-pee?
No, sir. It's just that, well...
Spit it out, weenie boy.
I was just wondering why you ride me and Jesse so much and never Petey.
He rides me plenty.
Shut up.
He does not ride.
Shut up!
Yeah, all right.
I love Petey because I loved his mother. She died giving him birth. He's our love child.
Yeah. Well, what about me and Jess?
You two are the unfortunate results of some recreational fucking back when fucking was fun.
Matt looks disturbed.
Jeez.
Get over it. We got company. And they're closing fast.
Take heathens. They got us outgunned. Zoom around the bend. Jump!
Eddie's watching the chase through the green-tinted eyepiece of Eli's night vision telescope. The heathens pursue the Hogans on their motorbikes, their guns blazing. A huge explosion erupts from behind a hill. Eddie scrambles over to another position and looks through the telescope. The heathens are firing at the burning wreck of the car. Eddie lowers the telescope, smiling. As the heathens roar off on their bikes, the Hogans emerge from behind the hill, dragging one of their number along the ground. Eddie follows them to their encampment.
I look right into the night. I'm a chemist, I'm not a doctor. But it looks like he may have a concussion, possibly some internal injuries. He should be in hospital.
Okay, Chang, you can go back to work.
He's your son.
You're goddamn right he is. You sure you're okay, boy?
Yeah, Dad, just...
I'm gonna get some real fire, huh? Wait a minute, Daddy. Think about it. Why would they attack us? We're in business together. Don't make no sense, Dad. Man shoots at me and mine, I shoot back and ask questions later. I'm paying $500 a head and that weaselly little rat fuck Ives is mine.
All right, let's just do this.
I want
this.
You to stay here and get some rest.
Rest when I'm dead, Daddy. Hell, they tried to kill me too.
Well, ain't you a block off the old chip?
We're going pig-hunting tonight.
Yeah! Now the heathens are celebrating around a campfire. From a distance, Eddie trains his rifle on them. Johnny creeps up behind him.
6 stars.
I always forget how easy it is to sneak up on a white man. You know, I've been thinking about your problem. You've been wanting to die for how long now? A year? You're not dead yet? It's easy to come up with 100 reasons to take the journey, Eddie. But you only need one to go on living.
I don't have one.
No, what about Rhonda? She's a nice girl. How to marry her? Have some kids. Hey, something moving down there. It's like a bunch of white guys with bushes on their heads. All divide and conquer working, huh?
The attackers spray the heathens with gunfire.
Should we even the odds?
Eddie fires off a shot, causing a massive explosion. Matt and Jesse duck behind a building.
Hey, faster! Stop it, got rid of you! Think again! Answer me one thing! How come you try and kill us tonight? Stop firing! Stop firing! Forgot, huh? Forgot what? Your hired gun wasted 3 of mine at the Bombay. I don't take that land down.
What hired gun?
Ramsey, you piece of shit.
You know.
Your man with a Colt 45.
Matt,
that's the guy from the Draw Lake. It's gotta be.
He? You told me you killed him.
I did.
Petey, what the hell's he talking about?
Stop firing!
The guy with the motorcycle.
Motorcycle?
It ain't
you
my fault,
bud. You told me that was gonna be no trouble.
It ain't my fault. Petey's supposed to cap him. He told me he would.
Here you go, screwing up again. Just keep
lay off
screwing
me,
up.
Get back.
When are you gonna learn, weenie boy?
Get off me.
When are you gonna
get
learn,
off,
weenie
boy?
When are you gonna learn?
Go. Matt punches Ramsey in the face and knees him in the groin.
Was it me? I didn't do it!
Ramsey and Matt fall onto the ground, gripping each other by the throat. Matt twists Ramsey's neck, breaking it.
Daddy! You killed him. You killed him, Matt.
You killed him, Peter! Because you didn't shoot that guy like you said you did!
You lied to me, boy.
You lied! That's what Johnny did! And I really did try!
You're one of us! You ain't a family!
I'm glad I ran away from home when I was a kid.
You understand?
Getting a little too cozy down there, don't you think?
You like barbecue?
I love it.
Eddie shoots a barrel, causing another explosion.
I told you we didn't hire no gunman!
Up in the tower! It's the guy from the Bombay!
I'll get the cable. Get their attention. Then you beat it.
It's a good plan, Eddie, but one thing's wrong.
Johnny punches Eddie, knocking him out, and he puts on Eddie's hat. The gang fires at Johnny at the top of the tower. He grabs hold of a pulley and slides down a taut metal wire, spraying the gang with machine gun fire. The gang surround Johnny on their motorbikes while Eddie watches from the tower.
Get in here!
Where'd you get the hat?
Do you like it?
Oh, damn smart ass!
Well, I guess it's my hat now. You like it?
Damn it! Wait. Maybe it's that spooky Indian we always heard about.
Nah, he never was for real.
The guy with a Colt 45. You don't know nothing about him either.
No.
Oh. Who is he, Chief? Tell me!
It's a coyote.
Coyote, my ass!
Oh. String him up!
Somebody get me a rope, huh? My ass! Coyote man! Where are you at? You hear me, boy? Stick around. We'll have a little fun with your friend here. Little puppet show.
Eddie's crawling in the undergrowth, watching as the gang take Johnny to the top of the tower. The men are disoriented by Eddie's howls. They look around frantically, pointing their guns in all directions. Eddie jumps on the back of one of the men, pistol whips him, then tucks his gun back under his belt.
Eddie! Eddie! This journey ain't over for you!
Eddie watches from behind some bushes as the men fan out on their motorbikes looking for him. He takes a flying leap and kicks one of the men off his bike. Eddie kicks him in the chest, then jumps onto the bike.
Say sayonara to your Indian friends!
Come on! Get him! Here he comes! Name your first kid after me!
They throw Johnny off the tower with a noose around his neck. The rope breaks and he plummets to the ground.
You rejects can't do nothing right!
Matt fires at him. Eddie rides over on the bike, shooting at them. He pulls the injured Johnny onto the bike while Matt fires at them from the tower. Eddie returns fire, then zooms off on the bike. The gang fires after them, but they disappear into the night. Back at Johnny's shack, Eddie carries him over to the bed and lays him down.
Home, sweet home. And we made it.
Johnny's not moving.
Johnny.
Eddie caresses his hair, then presses his ear to his chest. He slowly raises his head and gently strokes Johnny's hair.
Cigarettes and whiskey. Wild, wild women, they'll drive you crazy. They'll drive you insane.
Eddie looks at Johnny tenderly, then rests his head on his chest, his eyes glazed with tears. His face quivers with grief. He thinks of a coyote running across the desert against a full moon.
Everything all right, Mr. Rhonda?
No, Rhonda, I'm quite upset.
Oh. Well, what's the matter?
I had a dream again last night. Troubling. I heard the howl of the coyote, but this time there was violence and blood and death.
But that was just a bad dream, Mr. Early. That's nothing to worry about.
Rhonda and Jubal look through the diner window to see several approaching cars and motorbikes.
Now gather around now. You know, we hanged that Indian. We all hanged him. And I'm offering $10,000 reward for anybody that gets me that Eddie Coyote, dead or alive. You understand? Now, Berserker, you go take
I gotta go.
Good luck, my dear. Good luck.
Petey, you come with me. We're gonna check out Pearly Gate.
An old, battered car travels across a vast desert landscape. The car pulls up near Johnny's shack, and Rhonda gets out.
Johnny! Johnny!
She runs over to the shack to find Eddie sleeping in his bed.
Steps. Okay.
He's gone.
No, 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 no. You gotta listen to me. They're looking all over for you. You got a $10,000 reward on your head.
He grips her hand reassuringly. The sun hangs low over the mountainous horizon. As the sky darkens, the sun is replaced by a pale full moon. Wearing a bathrobe, Rhonda pats her hair dry with a towel, then goes over to Eddie, who's standing on the porch. He looks pensive.
I'm going back to town.
I'm gonna go with you.
Forget it.
Eddie, Johnny was my friend too.
Eddie glances away from Rhonda briefly, then grasps her face in his hands and kisses her. He rubs his thumb across her lips and caresses her hair. Then they kiss again, more passionately.
This is the new iPhone, and it lets you do some pretty incredible things. You can copy a phone number and paste it in a text. You can copy an article and paste it in an email. Or you can copy a map and, well, you get the idea. Copy and paste on the iPhone 3GS, the most powerful iPhone yet.
Sprzedajemy coraz więcej pralek w Indiach. Dowiedz się dlaczego.
W Indiach?
HSBC Commercial Banking can help you make the most of international business opportunities. With more than 8,000 relationship managers, we'll be there to help you succeed in over 60 countries and territories across the globe.
Look at this. With your machines, I make 10 times more lessons than I used to.
HSBC, the world's local bank.
It cost a fortune supporting Plymouth Argyle. Newcastle away today.
I mean, that's a long old poke, isn't it?
All right, Big Dave, get on.
22 away games last season. Money I spent on petrol. We could have bought Ditmar Van Nostril Boy. Rick Boy? Rick Bird? Lads all tip in, like, but I can't ask them to cough up for insurance and that.
All right, son. Get on, you janner.
Mind you, I just got 12 months car insurance for the price of 10 from Aviva. Money I save and pay for my away shirt. Good, isn't it?
Green hooray!
Want 12 months car insurance for the price of 10? Go direct. Get the Aviva deal.
Some of you may feel the way I do.
Some will feel more in love than the most beautiful story.
Some of you travel great distances.
You've been doing this all your life.
Some of you may utter the words,
if only,
too many times to be considered sensible.
Some may not be there all the time, but keep the faith nevertheless.
Some of you will take your sons and daughters.
And one day they'll take theirs.
Some of you wear your heart on your sleeve.
Actually, you all do that.
Some of you are so proud because this is where you come from.
Some of you will experience bursts of pure bliss.
Some of you will never want the day to end.
Some of you may feel the way I do.
Football. We know how you feel about it.
because we feel the same.
From the UK's number one styling range, get the beach blown look with VO5 Surf Style. VO5 Extreme Style. Break the mold.
This is Red John, and he wants to make sure I was on this case.
As the dramatic season of The Mentalist comes to an end, we go behind the scenes with two exclusive specials.
The grannies are really hot for him.
Followed by the two-hour finale, Mentalist Mania Finale Night, from 8 o'clock Thursday on 5.
Quality Moments on 5, sponsored by Hyundai i20.
On Johnny's grave. A bowl engraved with Native American symbols is perched on the rocky mound, smoke rising from it. Eddie stares at the landscape, the setting sun bathing the sky in shades of peach. Eddie's striding purposefully down the highway. A coyote runs across his path. Vern's watching from the diner window. He peers keenly at Eddie as he strides towards the pearly gates. Eddie opens the door, looks inside, then glances over his shoulder. He blows Vern a kiss, then heads inside. Vern picks up the phone and dials a number. Rhonda's binding Eli's gas cylinder with plastic wrap. She turns her head at the sound of approaching motorbikes. Eli, Jubal, and Mr. Singh come out onto the porch of Eli's store as the motorbikes roar past. Eli and Jubal head back inside. In the diner, Pop turns round the door sign to closed and shuts the blinds.
Y'all hold up.
Hey, we're closed! Oh,
can't you read?
Hey, Bert! You're on deck, son!
Shut up!
Yet.
Shut up, Daddy.
You're
gonna thank me, Daddy.
I'm not gonna
thank you for shit.
Shut up!
And I'm gonna tell you one thing. We are not making a...
Shut!
Your
pie hole!
Now I get a share of the reward, right?
Sure you do, Vern. Just show us where he is.
Oh, Vern!
It's all right, Pop. He's at the motel.
Vern, come off it, Vern!
Right there, the blue.
Let's go see if you need some room service.
Hey,
move out!
Go,
boy. Please
go! Hey, Vern,
stay.
Men drag Vern and Dottie away.
Hey! Let me go!
Hey, leave her alone!
Ah!
What are you doing? You can't do that!
I just did!
Now, come on!
Huh? You wanna dance?
Yeah!
Yeah?
Ah! Oh!
Your dance is dead
now! Oh, man! Oh,
Matt shot Pop in the leg. Vern tries to help him, but the men hold him back.
Stick around, Daddy. You and me got a date.
Eli and Jubal sort through a tray of bullets while Mr. Singh ducks into another room.
No, that's a 38.
There.
No, that's a 45.
And this?
No, that is a suppository.
Get your freaking hands up! Where I can see them! What the hell was that?
The heathen ventures through the door that Mr. Singh has just gone through. Outside, the gang gather around the motel.
Matt, this is spinning way out of control. Someone could get real hurt, maybe even killed.
God, sounds like it should mean something to me, but it just don't.
That's it! I quit! Get off me, Petey! fly across the thin line until I get a piece of that 10 grand.
All right, Jess, go turn that chicken-ass tenor into a soprano for me.
Back off, Petey.
Wait, Jesse, it's me, Vern. We went to high school together. I signed your yearbook. Come on.
I thought I recognized you.
Okay, I'm coming.
Vern joins the gang.
That wasn't funny, Matt.
Mr. Sings brandishing a sword.
Why, you've cleaned him open from collarbone to belly button.
You don't see that every day.
The heathen lies dead on the floor, his torso sliced open. Meanwhile, the gang are laying siege to the pearly gates. Marge watches from behind a window. They crowd along one wall.
You got back doors to these shacks?
No, I just windows.
All right, we'll cover them.
All right.
Come on,
let's
go!
Let's get this
guy. Marge presses the play button on a tape recorder. She's holding her pet snake.
My eyes have seen the
patience, Elijah. Patience.
The gang gather around the building, their guns poised at the ready. Matt signals silently to the others.
Get
the hell out of there, Vern!
Mister, come on out!
Get
Save
out of the
yourself,
way,
mister.
Punk!
They're gonna kill you, mister, if you don't come out!
The gang spray the building with bullets.
For sure!
But he's dead! He's dead!
Get your ass in.
He's dead!
Get your head in the door! Make sure he is! Go on!
Oh, mister, are you there?
Vern peers inside, then hurries out.
There's nobody in there. It's empty and it's full of holes.
Irma, go check it out! Buck,
go with. We got your back.
Inside, there's a rifle leaning against a chair.
It's a booby trap that didn't go off.
Circle around, man. We gotta find him. We can't let him get away.
Y'all see anything?
No, man, nothing.
Y'all search over here.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie and Rhonda are watching from the front seat of a burnt-out car.
Petey? Petey, what in the hell you doing over here, boy?
Backing you up, Matt.
Backing me up.
Yeah.
Matt smells Petey's gun.
You didn't even fire one damn shot, did you? Did you?
Petey casts his eyes down with shame.
Man, that's just weak, man. Real weak. Shit. Can't even count on your own blood.
Fuck, Irma! Quit your fussing over that booby trap. Just get out of here.
It looks like I got me a new shotgun.
Hey, Buck! Irma, can you help us find a coyote?
Caught on something.
Yeah, your green hand.
No, it's not. I see something over here.
The booby-trapped gas cylinder explodes, demolishing the building and sending showers of rubble blasting through the air.
You okay?
Eli was right. You get good mileage to a full tank.
You did a good job.
Go check on Bob, huh?
Be careful.
Go get him then, big kid. Go! Take your 10 grand and shove it. Petey, you all right?
The Junto! Shark!
Jess, you okay?
Oh, it's
now what?
Y'all head over to Eli's, check on Joe Bob. Petey, this your last chance to be a man. Are we straight?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna check out the gas station.
Matt, I won't let you down, okay?
Irma! Irma! I'm gonna kill him! Come on, you son of a bitch!
Matt's stalking around the rubble, his gun poised. Eddie leaps up and kicks him in the neck, twisting his legs around his throat. He takes Matt's hat and puts it on his head.
All right, Mother Teresa, where is he?
Ah! Repent! Repent, you sinner! Take him, Lord! Take him now!
on.
The Lord's will.
Again?
Marge threw her snake around the heathen's neck.
Hey, Circle. You got a coyote, huh?
Right ahead.
Huh?
Wrong guy.
Eddie strangles the heathen. Jubal's wrapping up dead heathen in plastic wrap.
Jova! Jova! Jova!
What the hell is this?
You know what the Bible says? Live by the sword, die by the sword.
It's funny. Where's the dude with the 45?
Don't you joke with me, you little chink! I am not joking with you! I'm gonna ask you one more time!
You gotta know where he is? Let's go find him, bro.
You are not my brother! You are a liar and a coward, and you do not tell me what to do! We would not be in this mess if you'd have just shot that guy when you had the chance, you little coward!
Not a chance.
Eddie shoots Jesse in the face, then points his gun at Petey.
Ooh. He's a long bugger, this one. We'll need another one of these.
Petey stares at Eddie fearfully, while Eddie fixes him with a fierce expression.
Get out of here.
Petey takes off. He runs outside, clambers onto his motorbike, and zooms away. Eddie emerges from the shack, his gun poised and ready. The sky is hazy with dawn's first light. Eddie draws a deep breath, then lowers his gun. He looks at the two remaining motorbikes.
You know, you should have killed him. Because I'm going to kill him as soon as I'm done killing your ass. Now drop it. Drop it! Now turn around nice and slow-like.
Eddie attempts a quick swing kick, but Matt kicks him in the groin and sends him reeling over a wall.
What's the matter? That hurt? Where are your little friends now, huh? This is what happens when you mess with my town!
He kicks Eddie in the face.
Last day to see coyote! I said get up, boy! Get up! Get up!
Stand up, little one!
You're pissing me off, you mutt! Give me a baby! Hey, adios, baby! Checkout time! Come on, get up! Need a little hand? You need a hand? You've been causing too much hell around my town! Stand up! I don't want to kill you laying down! Stand up! Come on!
Jubal's ringing the bell.
Teach you a damn lesson! You're gonna pay for what you've done to my family!
Knock it off, old man! Everybody see this?
Eddie spots a fighter plane soaring over the hill behind Matt. It swoops overhead. As Matt looks up, Eddie delivers a roundhouse kick to his face, then kicks him squarely in the chest, sending him onto the ground. Matt staggers to his feet and takes out a knife. Eddie grabs Matt's wrist and kicks him in the face, then trips him over. Grabbing him by the collar, he lifts him up and delivers him a volley of blows to his face. Matt staggers backwards, raising a weak fist in defiance. Eddie runs towards him, leaps up, and kicks him in the neck. Rhonda, Pop, and Dottie are watching excitedly. Eddie picks up Matt's gun and points it at him, but Matt collapses in the dust. Eddie fires the gun into the air. He removes the clip and throws the gun onto the ground, then staggers over to his motorbike.
Eddie.
Rhonda throws her arms around him. Matt picks up the gun and inserts the clip into the chamber. He points the gun at Eddie. Rhonda spots him and turns her body towards the gun. Bullets riddle Matt's body.
I got the busted!
You? No, it was me.
Army didn't give me a sharpshooter medal for nothing.
Was
you,
I?
You know.
What the hell are you talking about? You're all blind.
No. I got him.
Rhonda and Eddie kiss passionately.
Never, Mr. Short. Oh, I beg your pardon, sir, but my grandfather was very close to Rudyard Kipling, another excellent marksman. They were very close.
Eddie looks over at Marge, who's sitting in a wheelchair smiling at him, with a doctor standing on one side and Henry shielding her from the sun with an umbrella on the other. Sitting on top of his truck's cab, Jubal unloads bodies wrapped in plastic into the gorge. Now a newspaper headline reads, 28 vanish, locals blame UFO, police baffled, along with photographs of the Hogans and the Heathens. Buses are parked in town. Dottie climbs on board one and gives a coffee to Buddy.
Dottie, this is a gold mine. They're going to start running buses here every 2 hours.
I know. It's a lifesaver for us, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am. Dottie, I don't want to be forward, but do you like samurai movies?
Well, I don't know. I've never been to one.
Well, they're like Westerns, only Japanese. Anyway, there's a special showing on in Sun City. One of my favorites called Yo Jimbo. And I'd sure love it if you see it with me on Friday night.
Well, that sounds real nice, buddy. I could just drive down. What time should I meet you?
Oh, no. I'll come pick you up. Say around 5 o'clock?
I'll be ready.
Great.
God, that must be Bertie.
Jubal kisses Bertie.
King me, sir, please.
Yarn. Very lucky day for you, Mr. Singh.
Ah, and a very lucky day indeed for us all. Very lucky. Our town is experiencing a genuine renaissance, and we owe it all to Eddie.
A hell of an idea of his, telling the tabloids about all the alien activity around here.
Oh, yeah.
Who ever knew there were so many nuts in the world with money?
That's a good one.
I made you boys some brownies.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Lizzle.
Now, Bertie, you must sit and rest.
Oh, thank you.
And Eli, you must stop smoking.
Why?
Because my Bertie and I are having a baby.
Congratulations, my friend.
Eli gulps at his oxygen mask. Now, with Rhonda holding onto him, Eddie rides his motorbike across a vast desert landscape.
Hey! Hey, look who's here!
Johnny's riding with them on an identical bike.
I do now!
Johnny gives them the thumbs up and smiles broadly. Eddie returns the gesture and Rhonda hugs him tightly. They ride off into the sunset. The two bikes peel off in opposite directions and three coyotes race along a ridge, silhouetted against the moon.
Gonna have to trust tonight. There's a special light that listen with your heart and hear me like a song, singing that we're home, we belong. I'm a better man walking next to you, a man not seen before. My gift is loving you more. And you are everything I once imagined, like wishes from a hungry past, a vision and a dream that's a